A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We have merch. Check out the AmericanGlutton.net shop. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, hats, and more. A number of people have come up to me wearing American Glutton merch, and nothing fills my heart with more pride than seeing somebody in one of these t-shirts. And I've been stopped on the street and asked where to get it when somebody sees me in an American Glutton hoodie. Well, you can get it all at the shop on AmericanGlutton.net. And my favorite t-shirt, Yesterday It Was Tomorrow, Right Now, is up now. Get it while supplies last.
Hi, I'm Ethan Suplee. Welcome to American Glutton. Outside of acting, my two favorite things to do are diet and eat. I have a very complicated relationship with food, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all of it. Food as entertainment. Food as sport. Food as fuel. I'll talk to experts and the average person, just like you and me.
I hate to ask you to do anything, but if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to like, subscribe, rate, review, all of the above on whatever app you're getting it from.
My guest today is Tony Bartelson, a.k.a. Meat Dad. He's an awesome guy. He was a butcher. He now has one of the most fun pages on Instagram.
When you can have...
Meat Dad. Anthony Bartelson, welcome to the American Glutton Podcast.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it.
AKA, people will know your voice, but let's just get it out there. Meat Dad.
That's good, baby. We're talking Meat Dad over here. We're not Anthony. When we're over here, we're Meat Dad.
Meat Dad. Meat Dad is important. Dude, I love your content so much. You know, I've been on every diet there's ever been in life. And I think briefly when I was a little kid, my mom made me go macrobiotic, which I don't think it was meat free, but it certainly was reduced meat.
Yeah.
But like in real life, I eat quite a bit of meat. I can't get away from it. Like none of the diets, I feel terrible when I don't consume a lot of meat. Okay. So the point is like,
yeah,
watching your stuff brings me so much joy because like, let's be honest, meat can be not very cheap. So to find a cut that's comparable to a ribeye in a roast, that's, you know, a quarter the price is amazing.
That's it, man. That's how it all started for me with, you know, I've been a butcher for 20 years and throughout this thing, it's like I got all these customers and I'm selling them these things and I'm upcharging and I'm making as much money as I can because that's how you're taught, man. That's how it's a business. And so going through this thing and, you know, I'm just kind of, it's not me anymore. That's not me. So however it kind of went, I kind of started taking another angle and I'm like, you know what? No, why am I doing this? People are like, oh, should I get that? And I'm like, no, man, this isn't my, but, you know, you should get this. It's going to cost you this much. And then this. And they're like, no way. I didn't know that. Like, go get a porterhouse. They're about to get a New York strip and a filet mignon. So the New York strip's, you know, $25 a pound. And then the filet mignon's $30 a pound. Well, you got the porterhouse. That's $20 a pound. Right. So you can get both of those things. And they're like, well, the bone. I'm like, the bone's going to be great. You know, you're going to gnaw on it. Your wife or your husband can gnaw on it. Give it to the dog. I mean, for all it's worth, you're still saving money when you do it that way. And just those little things, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm going to start this reverse engineering thing on people. And then let's start teaching people the right way. And it started catching on.
You know, it seems to be such a barrier to entry for people who want to eat healthier, right? And like, that's such a bizarre metric because I think it becomes very subjective. However, whole foods, in my estimation, are healthier than processed foods simply because we're going to be compelled to eat less of them. You know, you get fuller, you eat whole foods, you get fuller, you know, it's hard to like snack on ribeyes all day long and go through a lot of them, or chicken breasts or something like that. Whereas Doritos were created so that, you know, yep, there was that Lay's challenge. I bet you can't eat just one, like, because they've been modified in a laboratory so that you cannot eat just one. You know, you can't do it. And there's a lot of concerns from people who are like, well, it costs a lot of money to eat that way. And it does. Like, largely, we in America are used to getting our food very, very inexpensively. And then you go and you're like, well, I'm just going to eat meat and vegetables. And it's like, well, that's a lot more expensive.
I'll stop you there, because that's where everybody is so wrong. And it's so wrong because, and I'm sure you know just as much as I do, but so for the last 30 days, I kind of took a tally of, you know, I didn't write it down, but I'm like, how much am I spending? So the last 30 days I did the carnivore diet, right? And so my kids, I still gave them some kids stuff, you know, obviously I made it a little bit better and I'm like, wait, I'm going to start giving them more of this. But throughout that time, man, the money that I actually saved, because you're not eating out, number one. And so if you eat out once, twice a week, man, that's already a ton of money for a family of four. And when you're doing a carnivore diet, you're not doing that. And the way that I'm doing it, you get a big chunk of meat. I spent $50. That $50 is going to last me the whole week. And then some eggs, and then maybe a little milk. I'll have a cup of coffee. And then, I mean, I'm not, for myself personally, man, I've been saving even more money. This is crazy, and eating better. And I lost like 35 pounds, man. And I'm like, dude, wait a minute. This is wild. So again, it's like, I don't think it's just the meat. I obviously think it's a lot more to do with the processed foods. Because, you know, I mean, I think that if you eat a vegetable or something, like I might get a rash because it doesn't work good with me. And I'll figure all that out. But I think it's mostly the processed food, and I've noticed meat has helped me with my energy, has helped me with like my brain fog. And it's not me trying to like sell meat. It's me just saying, dude, I'm going to try this. Everyone talks about this. I'm going to try this myself. What's the real deal? And I was like, damn it, this actually feels great.
Yeah, it did. It has become such a thing. I personally have never done carnivore. I actually have another buddy in LA right now who's doing carnivore, and he has nothing but positive stuff to say. You know, like, my concern listening to guys like Joe Rogan talk about it is like, do you have to be like 3 feet from a toilet at all times? And my buddy's like, no, that's not the issue. That's not an issue he's experiencing. And so, like, I think whatever makes you feel better and whatever handles the ailments you're looking to handle, that's a useful thing to do. But I totally agree with you. I do think it's like, I don't like to say foods are good and bad because I don't like to moralize foods.
No.
For me personally, consuming processed foods became a big problem. And it was a problem for the majority of my life. Where, you know, whatever regulators or governors are in this system of a body that I have, they just get shut off when I start eating processed foods, and I can overeat like an insane amount. And when I, you know, I'm hesitant to say like anybody who just switches from a processed food diet to a whole food diet is going to get to their be all end all goal, because I do think it will ultimately take more than that. As our goals become refined and refined and refined, you might have to go into a point where you're like, if I want my ab muscles to be visible, I'm going to have to be hungry, you know? And
yep.
And this is like not what is sold in keto. Keto is like you just stop eating carbohydrates and you'll get to wherever you need to get. And I didn't find that to be true. I lost plenty of weight doing keto, mm-hmm. but then I got to the point where I wasn't losing weight anymore. But yeah, man, the processed foods are awful. And then you do have people who are like, meat's expensive. And I think you're offering a wonderful service to people, even down to your knives, man. Like, you think like in order to butcher beef, well, I got to go out and get Wusthof knives. And you're like, no, here's my Vitronox knives that I've had forever. It's got a plastic handle. I love it. Here's how you sharpen it. It's amazing.
And I'm trying to, and that's what I'm trying to do. So, I mean, obviously through social media, you're going to get a lot of people shoving their products at you. So in the beginning, I got a lot of people, hey, sell my knife. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. A lot of them are really expensive. A lot of them are really cheap. And for me, my integrity is huge. And so everybody that I'm speaking with to me is a blue collar person, right? And so if I were to talk to myself, that's how I always do any of this. If I'm going to talk to myself, am I going to tell myself, go buy this $120 boning knife? I'm going to say, no, man, if you want that $120 boning knife, get it in a few years when you're established and you have a little money to spend around. You don't need to start with that. What you need to start with, something quality, something that's going to last, something like, so that's why I recommend Victorinox and all that. But throughout all this thing, I started talking to a company that is here in the USA, in New York. And I'm like, man, I want to do, I want to make my own knife, but I want to make it as expensive or less expensive than the Victorinox, but I want it to be the same quality. So we went and we made one, man. We got this, it's a boning knife. It's a slash fillet knife. So it's kind of that. I wanted that 2-in-1. So you're kind of getting a deal. It's the semi-flex. So anyway, so it makes it nice because, again, I'm not trying to make a bunch of money on people. What I'm trying to do is like, here, this is what you can use. You don't have to buy this. You can do this. So again, saving money, man, just saving money and just trying to be honest with people. And there's no reason to just sell shit, you know?
Yeah. No, those tricks. I can't wait to get your knives, by the way. I did not know you had a knife or were.
Yeah, I just have one. Yeah.
That's amazing. I can't wait to get it. I can't wait to use it. But all of the things, everything you show from like taking a whole chicken apart, like, I buy a lot of boneless, skinless chicken breasts. I always look and see it's a lot more money than buying a whole chicken. You can practically get a whole chicken for like 2 boneless, skinless breasts. Like it doesn't totally make sense how they do it, but somebody else is doing the work because it is slightly complicated. Like it's not something I would figure out just by feel, but you're showing us how to do it, which is a very big service. And grinding meat, like all of that stuff is really helpful.
Yeah, it's all little tricks that we basically, most of us we didn't grow up learning this, right? And so, for instance, like, you talk about ground beef. Let's just say, a package of ground beef at the store is, let's say it's $5 a pound, right? And then you see a roast, and the roasts are on sale this week for $3.99, right? So already you're looking, you're like, oh, that's less expensive, but I wanted ground beef. Well, now trim up that roast, make it the most beautiful little center cut roast you ever had. All the stuff you just got rid of, grind it up, and then you have burger for $1 less a pound. I mean, and this works for so many things around here. I always talk, because I'm in California, tri-tip. They always put these untrimmed tri-tips on sale for like $3.99 a pound. You can't beat it. You can do anything. You can throw it on the grill. You can cut it up. You can do stew. You can do ground beef. And I mean, literally anything you want. And so if I'm at the store and I see tri-tips on sale, I will not look anywhere else. Because I'm like, there's no reason to go look at the ribeyes, because I can just make this a beautiful tri-tip steak, leave the fat on there. And so again, and so I try to teach people, even when I'm in the store, man, I'll see people looking and I'm like, oh man, hey, you see these over here? And I'm like, oh, stop, man. You're just shopping, but I just want to help,
It is against your brand, but I have to ask, will you ever go to a very, like a Harvey Guss or a McCall's and spend an insane amount of money on like a tomahawk ribeye or A5 Wagyu or something like that. Do you do that, or do you live by what your code is?
No, I mean, I've never even heard of those, either of those. So I guess, you know, those must be some pretty, pretty nice spots. But no, like I've been to steakhouses and stuff, and like, yeah, it's always fun to go out and get a steak. I definitely will do it. You know, there's no reason not to, but I don't find the urge to, like, I don't crave a steak from a restaurant because I'm like, oh, I haven't had a good steak in a while. I like the ambiance. I like to, you know, let's get some cream spinach. That's fun.
Yeah.
But going for the steak, no, I'm going to a Mexican place for Mexican food because, oh man, that's what I need, you know?
Yeah.
But other than that, no, I love going to these steakhouses, but I'm not like, I need to get a tomahawk because, I mean, I've had it all. I've had it all every single way. Being able to bring this stuff home and, you know, the older stuff, the stuff that, you know, I mean, hanger steaks and stuff nobody's heard of. I've got to have fun cooking this stuff and ruining it and then perfecting it. So that's what's also fun about all this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I spend a lot of time in Southern Florida, and there are a bunch of really nice steakhouses. I've been to all of them where you almost have to take out a mortgage to get the big steak there. They're just insanely overpriced, but I'm with you. I like cream spinach. I eat very little of it. I'll get it. I'll have a tablespoon of it. And then that's that. I like Brussels sprouts with bacon. And again, like I have to stop myself from picking the bacon out and eating just that. Eat some of the greens, you know?
Yeah.
But then there's this restaurant called Louis Bossi, which is an Italian restaurant. And it's like an American Italian restaurant. And then they also serve a steak that they dry age in-house. And I'm telling you, man, that steak, and my wife and kids who know I'm super into steak, they're like, wait, you only ever want to go to the Italian place to eat a steak? And I'm like, what can I tell you? That's the steak I like, you know?
That's the one, man.
That's the one. And
sometimes they know what to do, man. I mean, is it a bone-in T-bone by chance?
It's a bone-in. They do a bone-in ribeye, which I've never gotten. They do a bone-in New York strip, which that's actually an awkward bone because it is just half of a T-bone. So it kind of curves around. So you gotta, and by the way, they cut it for you and they always leave way too much meat on the bone, which I appreciate because it gives me something to do. I always eat I'm always done with my food before anybody else. And I have to spend about 10 minutes getting the rest of the meat off of there. and it just becomes a project, you know?
Me too, man. That's what I enjoy. People always, oh, I don't like the bone, whatever it is. It's like, oh man, this is, you're going to spend a little bit less. And then, you know, some people say, depending on what it is, man, I'll say, yes, I do think bone gives enhanced the flavor, but you know, I mean, I'm not one to, I don't know what the bone on the inside of the meat is going to do on the outside of the meat. So that's not even an argument I ever like to make because, oh, that's one of those rabbit holes you get into. If you ever say that on the internet, man, is bone doesn't give flavor. If it does, oh, you're,
well, I agree with what you're saying. As far as a steak goes, the majority of what you're eating, it can't affect it. But like, there's just, you can't argue with the fact that like a short rib, a bone-in short rib tastes better to me than a boneless short rib. When you cook it, the juice, the stock that it will render,
yeah,
like,
I agree. Yeah.
It's just better. And the meat around the bone is like beef ribs are. And by the way, my kids think I'm crazy, but I'll eat the tendons and all of it. I love all of that.
Oh, me too, man. Oh yeah. All the cartilage and all that.
Yeah.
When you start doing, oh man. So there's Argentina style barbecue. They leave the membrane. So they'll get a skirt steak. And then all of us, you know, we rip the membrane off and then you clean it all up and get a perfect, and then you grill it medium rare. Well, Argentine style, They'll do it up hours and then slap it with water and do this and it'll slowly cook. Man, it's like a brisket, but like enhanced because it has so much marbling. And you were never to think over here, like, you don't cook skirt steak like that. You cook it like this. You slice it thin, but you're like, man, there really is so many different ways to cook these things to make them absolutely wonderful. We just get kind of stuck on, you can only do this. Or people just like, I like filet mignons, or I do this because that's all they know. And they're kind of afraid to get out of the comfort zone. And then once they find out, you know what, I'm going to try the, you know, the chuck eye steak. And then they're like, man, that is good. Why have I not done it? And you're like, there you go.
I actually think I'm glad you brought up the skirt steak. Skirt steak was something I never saw as a kid. And I actually think it's the most like slept on cut of beef there is. It's an incredible piece of meat, and you don't see it in all that many restaurants. And then some people think that that's what carne asada is made of, but that's some high grade fucking carne asada, because it's not a cheap cut of meat.
No, there's different ones. So there's an inside skirt, and then there's an outside skirt. And then they have something called flat meat. Usually the flat meat is what you're going to use for carne asada. And then the inside skirt is usually, that's the one that is going to be a little bit more, it's going to be a little thicker and a little bit chewier. So the outside skirt, that is the outside skirt, that's my favorite. That's the one that always has the big piece of membrane on it. It's a little bit thinner. It kind of just looks like rugged. Oh man, I love that stuff. When I first figured it out, I'm like, how did we not eat this growing up? You know,
yeah,
how did we...
I never saw that growing up.
No, I never did either. When I first started an apprenticeship, they're like, skirt steak. And I laughed inside. I'm like, oh, skirt. What is this? Right. Who named this?
Where does that come from? What part of the cow is it that it got the name skirt steak?
I mean, so if you cut this guy open, there's one right here. And then there's another one on the inner side. So it's just kind of a couple little flaps that okay. are on there. So, I mean, I don't technically know where
that name came from.
Origin, man. There's so many weird names, man. There's all the stuff, man. There's a lot of weird.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters, May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Your names.
Yeah. I watched your evolution on carnivore. Was that prompted just because it is in the zeitgeist right now? What got you doing that?
So, man, by the end of last year, so, you know, making content, you know, and so as a content creator, let's make a double cheeseburger with some chili on it. Let's make this with this. And I mean, these are beautiful looking. Everybody wants to see that. That's the glory, right? So I'm making this stuff. And so, man, by the end of the year, I don't know how many pounds I put on, but I felt like absolute garbage. Like, I just didn't feel good. And I didn't want to do, oh, I'm going to do a New Year's resolution, because I just feel, you know, as a guy, dude, I mean, I've always done the same thing, man. I've been on a ton of diets and stuff. So it's like, I'm not doing a New Year's resolution, none of this and this. And so I'm like, I'm going to start doing something else. But a couple of weeks later, I talked to somebody that was actually on social media, and she reached out and she said, hey, would you get on my podcast? And I'm like, yeah, you know, sure. That'd be great. And so it was a carnivore podcast. I didn't even realize it. Like, it was a full on. She's like, are you carnivore? I'm like, no. And she's like, oh, we thought you were carnivore, you know? And then she's like, what do you think about vegetarians? You know, almost waiting for me to say like, oh, vegetarians suck. You know, I'm like, dude, whatever you want. Like, if you want to eat that, cool. Like, if that makes you feel good, that's wonderful. And she's like, wow, this is a little different than I thought. And so, but it turned into a really good conversation.
Listen, lady, I'm a butcher.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at the people who like broccoli.
No, but it was nice, Benji. We had a really good conversation. We're actually really nice. We're good friends now. He's telling me about the carnivore diet. And so I'm hearing a few things, and I've heard it. I mean, obviously, being on a meat channel, you hear carnivore diet. And so I'm like, what is this thing? And so I paid a little bit more attention. She told me a little bit about it. And then I think that day or the next day, I'm like, you know what? Dude, I'm just going to do this for 30 days. How can this can't hurt me. I already feel like shit. All these people are saying it makes them feel good. It takes rashes away. All this stuff, man, allergies. And I'm like, and so my wife is actually a scientist, and she's like, what are you going to do? Dude, you're going to eat meat for 30? Like, wait a minute, dude. Like, hang on. And then she kind of looked into it. And she's like, all right, well, I mean, it doesn't look that bad. And so she gave me the approval, that which a good wife should do, because she's like, come on, man, what are you doing? But after doing it, so I'll tell you, the first couple days were okay, like not a big deal. But it was like day two, driving, and I'm like, oh man, my stomach. And all of a sudden, the Joe Rogan Experience, you know, like, oh man, it wasn't like anything that I haven't had in my life. It was just like, oh, bubble gut, you know, like, oh, I better go home, you know? And then that was it. And then the next day, maybe a little bit. But then after that, just kind of a steady, regular stomach. I've been drinking electrolytes. I all the stuff that was recommended, you know, a couple different extra vitamins. But yeah, I used some seasoning. You know, people just say use salt. Man, I mean, it's like for me, I don't want to fall into this box either. Like I can't do that, because no matter what you do, you're doing something wrong. And so for me, I'm
somebody
like
will
the
have
way that I'm doing. And so that's what I think people get discouraged of, because if you fail the carnivore diet or whatever diet it is, you failed. And right, as a guy that's done a lot of different diets, man, like it's over, dude. I may as well go eat a bag of Doritos, right? And so for me, this is more like, no, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to use regular seasoning. It's not going to have sugar. It's fine. I'm going to drink coffee. Some people don't. That's fine. Like, there's a couple things that I wanted in my life. And that, I think, continued to help make me do it, because it wasn't like, oh, I got to do this. It was like, man, I really want to do this. And so it made it a lot better. And it's been past the 30 days. And I've had some lettuce with, like, you know, I'll make like, you know, a chicken bowl with some lettuce and do kind of the same thing, or add in something here, but I haven't had any carbs or anything else. Maybe a couple blackberries, just to kind of like reintroduce and kind of see if it does anything to me. But no, man, I feel too good to eat that shit right now. And so it's like, even like I bought my kids and my wife a pizza. We had this whole thing at the school. I love pizza, but to me, it wasn't even, I had no problem. Like not at all, because the way I felt. So it's like, so weird how you like, okay, cool.
I suspect that it isn't the lettuce and the blueberries and the blackberries and stuff like that. I mean, listen, and what the fuck do I know at the end of the day? I'm never, all I've ever battled is my weight. And so that's a real kind of a simple formula of like, consume less calories per day than I exert, I'm going to lose weight, and try to do it not as insanely fast as possible, because the rebound when you do it insanely fast is rough. And so I don't know, but my buddy who's doing carnivore right now for eczema, he has eczema, and he stops eating vegetables and other processed foods, which he eats very little of anyways, processed foods, and it clears up. And so I don't know, there might be something to that. And
that's kind of me too. Sometimes I'll get some eczema. I haven't had it for a month.
Right.
And again, but I haven't eaten processed foods for a month. And so it's like, I don't know. And so that's why I'm going to slowly, you know, like I said, add lettuce. I don't see it. Okay. Yeah. Lettuce is cool.
Right. Lettuce is, check lettuce is off cool. The right. Try an onion and see what that does, or some broccoli. See what that does.
I can't even tell you that blackberry, man. Blackberries have never tasted so good.
Yeah.
Because I haven't had any sort of sugar. And so, oh man, they just popped in my mouth. I ate like three and I was like a giddy little kid.
Yeah.
I tried a little sugar rush.
for a photo shoot, I did like a proper bodybuilder cut where like 10 days out, you increase water to like 3 gallons a day, and then you slowly taper your salt down, and then you're having basically no sodium, and then you stop your water and you just get like shredded for like 10 minutes. You look insane for like 10 minutes. And man, getting rid of salt, like life became depressing. Like the little bit of joy I had in the food that I had was gone, and it was just awful. And then by a few days into it, you don't miss it as much. But when I put salt back on my food, man, it was as though, it was a magical experience. So I can only imagine with something sweet probably has that same thing where it's like almost profound how good it tastes.
It's just, I think it's the same thing with anything. I mean, as humans, I won't even say as Americans, we overconsume everything, right? And so when you can have the Italian sandwich, it doesn't taste as good because you have it all the time, right? But if you have it one time, oh my God, this sandwich I've been waiting for, you enjoy it so much more. And I was not enjoying food at the end of last year, let's just say, because it's a free-for-all. I can have whatever I want, you know, like, oh, whatever, dude. It's like, I can just eat what I want. And that's not fun anymore because now it's just, you just feel like shit. And so now after doing this, it's like a reset. And I'm like, oh, you know, like I got some buffalo chicken chips up here that are made out of chicken skins, dude. And I'm like, oh man, but it's nice because they taste so good because I haven't had stuff like that, which is like, man, it's kind of a mind thing that you got like, wait a minute, dude, we can do this. We can make these little changes.
Yeah. Man, you just made me think. There's a chef named Alon Hall. He actually won one of the years early on of Top Chef. He's a very good chef. He had a restaurant in California called The Gorbals, and he did a fucking, it was like kosher Scottish food, if that communicates anything to you. It was crazy. But he did a BLT with chicken skin instead of bacon.
Oh,
fuck, dude, it was so good. Holy shit, was that good. And your chicken skin chips right now. I mean, my mouth salivated when you said,
dude,
that.
I'm telling you, I think, and this is all the stuff that I'm showing people too. Because again, we go back to that whole chicken, man. Like you buy the whole chicken and this is what, you know, I went to Whole Foods, same exact brand of chicken. And that's what we were talking about. It was 365 brand, 2 boneless skinless chicken breasts. Let's just say it was $11, right?
Right.
And then one whole chicken was $10.50. So it was actually less expensive.
And it's got 2 breasts on it, plus a lot more, plus the oysters and the wings and
everything else. So you get the back, the legs, the wings, the thighs. And then I took the breasts off and I weighed them. They actually weighed more. So at the end of the day, it was like a no-brainer. And then, but some people get confused because they'll say, oh, well, I see chicken breasts for $1.99 a pound. It's not comparable. And so if you're seeing, you have to do a brand comparison, right?
Right.
So someone will be like, oh, I get chicken breasts all the time. Be like, well, do you know what chicken breasts those are? I mean, it's to each their own, but it's
$1.99 a pound. I have never seen that. That's a really inexpensive chicken breast.
We see that. I see that all the time over here. And so it's like we have a place, there's Safeway around here. I'm sure you know Safeway, sure. But they do, you know, the sales. And so what we used to call this stuff, because, you know, we used to call this stuff prison chicken. And so the way it's raised, it's obviously not raised very good. And they're all into the same pen and this and this. Well, we found out there was a couple of farms that were actually on prisons.
Oh,
and
wow.
So, yeah. And so there was, some of these places, you know, back in the day, I was like, man, these are literally prison chickens. So they're, you know, they're doing the same thing, but the prison workers were doing this. And so we had this whole thing. But the way that they're fed and they're raised, it's a lot different than, let's just say, like a Mary's organic chicken, which is they got to go through all the steps. They got to eat the right things. It's a whole different process. And so it's comparing apples to oranges, but it doesn't seem like it because you see 2 chicken breasts.
Yeah.
And so it's so hard for people.
The one thing that I found about that, because for me, boneless, skinless chicken breast is about getting the maximum amount of protein I can, with as little fat as possible. But to your point, I remember going like, this is untenable for some people. Let me just go and do this with lesser brand chicken breasts. But I would often boil my chicken breast just because I'd make a big pot of boiled chicken breast. It's easy. You know, I'm not looking for a lot of flavor. I'm just looking for protein bombs. The amount of fat in those off-brand chicken breasts was like five times the fat. And I would know this simply because the amount of fat that would boil off while cooking it, which was astonishing, with like a high quality boneless skinless chicken breast, I would get like a couple of dots of fat in my boiled chicken water. Right. But with these other brands, there was just an astonishing amount of fat cooking off, which was really confusing because I thought it was I think there's a little bit of fat in all of animal based protein. Unless it's removed like with a whey protein or something like that. But even that often has a little bit of fat in it. But I remember boiling cheap chicken breasts and being left with a lot of, you know, something that at another point in my life, I would be conniving to like fry bread in.
You know? Uh-huh. Exactly. But the thing though about that, which again, people kind of they go, oh, fat, right? And so if you're going to, do you use olive oil or other oils, right?
My total cholesterol is fine, but my LDL is slightly higher and my HDL is slightly lower. So I've been instructed by doctors to try to increase my omega-3s and decrease my omega-6s. And so, I try to have a little, you know, chia seeds and avocado and olive oil and less fat from meat and, you know, very little omega-6 oils like seed oils and stuff like that. That's the balancing act I do right now. But I then will go and eat a steak. You know, once a week I'll eat a steak.
Yeah. Well, what I was just going to say is with that, so like going back to, you know, all right, so you're to those chicken breasts instead of getting the cheap ones. So you only want the chicken breast, right? Because that you don't want the thighs, you don't want the legs. And I get this a lot because people go, I don't use that. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that, right? So after you pull those breasts off, you got your breasts to the side. Pull that skin off, put that skin to the side, and then just take the rest of the chicken, the carcass, put it in a bunch of water. You're still going to get a shit ton of protein.
Collagen. Chicks are so into collagen.
So much. And then that's what people, you're just getting this for free. And then that's the thing, people, I don't like dark meat. Don't eat the meat. Just make the broth if you want. But after you cook it, you're going to eat the meat. I guarantee you're going to eat that soup meat.
Oh, listen, I'm a dark meat guy. You know, turkey, chicken, any of it. If I had my choice, dark meat is the way to go. I do consider the oysters to be like the most prized. And then next I'll eat the Pope's nose because that's not even meat. That's just fat. That's pure fat. And the skin like that, that is what calls to me in the night.
Somebody says
like, do you want to have dessert? I'm like, I'd rather have another cheeseburger. I'd rather have another piece of pizza than have
a piece
of cake.
I'm with you, bro. Yeah. I'm with you.
Fat is my love language. Watching you fry chicken skin, like that's what gets me going. You know what I mean? And I chicken wings, like I was so depressed when I found out how many calories were in a chicken wing because it's mostly skin and dark meat, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, that's where you gotta pull off these little tricks, man. That's what you gotta do, you know?
Yeah. Making stock, like I'm always astonished when my wife buys a jar of collagen powder and I'm like, I can make you the most wonderful gelatinous stock.
Yes.
That's not full of fat, right? We'll take the fat off of it and it's just collagen and it's not that expensive and we can season it with whatever you want, turmeric or ginger or garlic, you know, aromatics.
Like
that's
it.
Not hard. Yeah. And you drink it down, you're getting all your collagen and we're having dinner and it's not an insane price to pay, but you want to spend $50 on a small jar of collagen powder. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, grab some chicken feet, man. grab some chicken feet.
I've done
that. Backs.
Listen, I'll go to dim sum and eat chicken feet all day long. It's a lot of knuckles you got to spit out, and my kids get real freaked out. But every soup that I've made them that they've loved and they didn't watch me make had chicken feet in them.
See, that's where the flavor is, man.
Yeah.
And if people, incredible. Again, we all get scared about it because we don't learn about it. Nobody learns about this stuff. So they're like, ooh, feet. But then you realize, oh, when you go to a Chinese place, you're like, man, why is this so good?
Yeah.
They're using the right stuff.
Cook it. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about butchers and meat. You had a deal with a meat company, right?
Yes. Gruntworks Meat Company. Yeah, man. Crazy little deal. So I'll kind of
are you cool? Are you cool talking about it?
Oh yeah. I'm just like trying to think where to start because it's a kind of a crazy little deal with these guys. So yeah. So I'll kind of give you a background of like, so I started doing social media probably a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. Just cutting meat. And long story short, I was sick of Facebook and Instagram. I was honestly just sick of it. I was sick of seeing friends doing this or doing that. I was just like, I'm over social media. I don't want to look at it. And so I took that stuff off my phone. But I was working for a place where I was doing their social media, where I would take pictures of the meat or whatever and post it online. And so that was fine. So I wasn't browsing any of that. And so while I'm doing all that, this guy that I'm working with, he's sending me these TikToks, man. I'm like, I don't have that app. What are you doing? I'm like, I'm not getting that. And he's like, and then I finally did. I'm like, dude, what is this stuff? So I downloaded it and I'm like, oh, there's some pretty good videos. You know, they're food video. I'm like, wow, this is kind of like that stuff without, I don't know anybody. And so I'm like, cool. I don't have to hear anybody's problem. I mean, I just didn't want to have to deal with all this stuff all the time. And so I start watching this stuff and then the dude's like, oh man, you should make a video. I'm like, nah, you know. Long story short, I made a couple of videos. I'm like, oh, this is how you cut this. This is how you did this. And then I made one and I made like a terrible video. And then I'm like walking to the bathroom and I'm making a voiceover and it's me walking out with a pork loin and I slap it on the table and I just start, I'm gonna stop wasting your fucking money. And I just start ranting. I'm like, stop being lazy. You can get this. And I just tell people how to cut up a boneless pork loin and it got a couple hundred thousand views. And I'm like, dude, I'm used to getting 9 likes from the people that I know, you know? And so I'm like, wow, people want to know how to do that. And so then I did something else where I cut up a chuck roast and it's like 500,000 views. And I'm like, what? Like people want to know this stuff? And so I kept kind of going with it. And then questions would come in and I would answer it. And yeah, long story short, man, I got a few million followers now and I don't cut meat anymore. I just do this. So with that being said, I have a few, you know, I've gotten a few sponsors, I've had a few deals through the way. And so there's a company that reached out, Gruntworks Meat Company. And so this guy reaches out, his name was Eric, and he, first he sends an email and, you know, it's a great email and, right up my alley. I'm like, he starts talking about, he's working with, at the NFL doing this and with a startup and like we're changing it to online sales and I get all this information and I start looking some of it up and I'm like, oh, this seems pretty legit, dude. I'm like, this guy Nate Boyer, he's part of this whole thing, and I'm like, man, like this would be really cool. And then they have Jay Glazer from the NFL, he signed up on this, and they have him, and I'm like, dude, like I love football. Like, this is going to be dope. Like, let's talk about like what's. And so we start having a conversation. So then he goes to call me and he goes, I'm going to call you at 11 a.m. You know, I'm in New York. And so it's 11 a.m. I get no call. And I'm like, all right, this was some bullshit. A couple hours later, this guy calls and he goes, hey, you know, he starts talking business. I'm like, yo, man, I don't even really want to have this conversation. I'm like, we had a meeting and like you did this and this. He's like, oh, you know, it must have been the time difference. And it was like, no, even if it was, it would still be off. Like,
right. Yeah, you're still 3 hours late. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, whatever it is, man, this isn't right. And so he's like, well, can I just talk real quick? And I'm like, yeah, let's have a conversation. So we talk a little bit and he starts telling me some of the details. He's like, I'll send you some stuff, you know, really good salesman, you know? And so he tells me this whole thing. He connects me and then we get in a meeting with with all these other guys. And their idea is they want to be like a butcher box, right? And so me, I'm like, you know what? I don't really want to do that. That's not me. I want to save people money. What I want to do is be able to get people to get big chunks of meat, get quarter cows, half cows, whatever it is. And so
cut it up, store it, freeze it. You got meat for months.
Exactly. And so this is my dream. And so for me to say, hey, go buy a box of steaks. Yes, it might be good for some people, but that's not me. And so for me, I'm like, I don't want to do that. And so they got off the phone. They reached back out. They said they wanted to work with me. They sent out a contract. They said, we want to start doing it that way.
Wow.
That sounds like And I'm like, dude, are you serious? Yeah. And so I'm like, this is amazing. So we got a contract. We got a significant amount of money per month. And I'm like, dude, this is the real deal. I'm like, this is great. And so we kind of get through the first month. It was kind of chill. And then I got paid. Like, you know, I think it took a little while. You know, it took like a month and a half, or, you know, I'm like, whatever, you know, these guys are figuring it out. And then we get to the next month and we start doing content. Everything's good. These guys start changing everything on the website. I'm going through the website. Like, they have top sirloins marked as porterhouse. I mean, I'm sifting through this thing. I got one of my buddies involved. We write out something to put on the front of the page. I mean, so this whole thing, they had everything marked grass fed when it wasn't. There was grass fed and grain finished and wagged. And so I'm like, in my head, I'm like, dude, obviously, I mean, I have a lot of experience, but how in the hell are these people not seeing all this stuff? Like, these guys have millions of dollars into this. So I'm like, all right, well, this kind of feels good to me, because I'm like, dude, I'm the expert right here. And so we continue. And any recommendation I make, done. It's like whatever Tony's, you know, asking, we're doing it, because he knows what the hell he's talking about. And I'm like, okay, like, this is cool. And so do we do that? We're generating sales. I get all these people on. I mean, and it's a good, I go and visit. So I go to Florida, I go visit, and I go see the slaughterhouse. And I finally get to meet this guy. And then I meet another guy, and it was great, man. Like, I'm like, this is what an opportunity. And then we're like, oh, we're going to go to dinner. Beautiful. So we're going to dinner. I'm in the car. And then this guy says, so, you know, there's been some stuff going around. I want to be honest with you. So you might not hear something, you know, that's not true. And I'm like, oh, what is it? He goes, so I served 10 years in prison. I got caught up in something for basically embezzling $120 million.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so it was the whole thing. He was saying all sorts of different things about how it happened, and he got caught in it, and that's not him, and whatever it was. And he gave me a whole story, and he shows me all the receipts, and he's doing this, and he wants to change his life for his kids, man. He said he wants to leave a legacy for his kids, and he would understand if I didn't want to work with him anymore. But, you know, he just wanted to be honest, and he wanted to tell me in person. And I'm like, all right, man, like, dude, he gave me this whole story. And I'm like, you know what? Like, everyone deserves a fucking second chance, my man. Like, you seem like you're, you know, everything's working. And like, yeah, I'd love to. I want to grow this business. He said, we're going to grow this, and we're going to have it for this amount of time, and we're going to make a legacy. You know, he goes through this whole entire thing. And so, I'm like, I'm a little bit shocked, but I'm like, all right, well, let's just keep going with this. I tell my wife and this. And so he actually tells me, he goes, have you ever seen the movie The Wolf of Wall Street? I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, I think you might have. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, basically, he said, I mean, I don't know what to believe anymore. He had been approached by the director or whatever, and he had part of the scenes or whatever it is, it was influenced by what he had done. And right. So he had to sign this, he says, and this and this and whatever it was. And so he's telling me this whole thing. And I'm like, you know what? Like, again, like, you went through your thing. You're cool. You want to be done with it. And so let's do this. And so everyone else was cool. Like, again, we had Nate, and we were talking to everyone. And Matt was the CEO or the owner of the company. All these people, man, they were all on. And so all these changes started happening. And we have a meeting, and they go, you know, how are the sales? And they're basically like, well, every time Meat Dad posts, we sell stuff. And so they're like, all right, man, well, we need to post some more. You know, I'm like, well, you know, like we can, but we got to get this thing running the right way. And we got to get this. And some things started falling apart, the packaging, late orders, somebody. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on? It's getting a little sideways. And they're like, oh, we'll take care of it. And so then it's time for payday. You know, like we'll have it on the 20th. Right. And so it's like, all right, you know, that's fine. Whatever. We'll have it on the 1st. You know, all right, whatever, you know. Have it on the 5th. So we get to the next month. All right. I'm like, all right, dude, it's like the 15th. You owe me for 2 months. So like, we got it. We're getting more funding right now. And this is it. And he shows me this paperwork. We go this, we have meetings. And then I'm like, all right, man, like, dude, I'm in. Like, we're doing this from the ground up. I get it. Like, dude, you know, like, I'm cool. Let's just wait another month. No big deal. But at that point, I'm like, fuck this, man. I'm not doing anything for them until I get a payment. Like, because I'm the one that's driving this stuff. And so it gets to January, little to no communication. And there's a couple of guys. Now I'm like, dude, I'm not hearing from like one of the guys' names is off the company.
Oh, wow.
What's going on around here? And so finally get a hold of this guy, Eric. He said this money's coming through on Wednesday and it's been a lot of stuff and he's been running around and he basically said, it's coming Wednesday. I'll give it to you Friday. We're going to get this thing going. And they have all this stuff where we got a guy, Rick Cerrone, a baseball player, is now lined up. We have all these people that have signed up and I talked to Hercules on the phone, bro. It was so weird. He's like, here, I'm going to party with Hercules. And, you know, and I'm like, hey. So we end up, I'm talking on the phone. He's like, I'll pay you Wednesday or Friday, whatever it is. And you know, all the money's coming through. And Wednesday comes, I don't hear nothing from him. And then I text message him. I'm like, look, bro, I got to end. Like, I'm done. Like, we can't do this anymore. This has to be over. We got to figure out a way to end this because you can't communicate. I don't hear from him. Next day, I'm like, reach out to one of these other guys. I'm like, dude, what's going on with Eric? They're like, dude, he's dead. I'm like, what? I said, he killed himself. So he killed himself on the Wednesday. Basically, the money, nowhere to be found. And come to find out, there was probably about 50 different investors with different contracts,
right,
with him getting all these. And so then you look back. Now you see they already started getting sued in November. And so that's why you see names coming off of the ownership. And they were putting it towards whoever was in charge of this thing, you know, to try and make him take all the heat for it. So this guy in the beginning, Eric, had his name on absolutely nothing. And so he knew what he was doing. He was scamming everyone. And at the end of the day, man, I guess he ended up scamming himself.
But there was an actual ranch. There was a slaughterhouse.
Everything. It was a running business. Great meat. And I guess the benefit for people was they got some goddamn good meat at a really cheap price. Because at one point, they're like, let's get ribeye. We got to get rid of some ribeye. $5 a pound, dude. They're like, wow, let's do $5 a pound just to generate some interest, right?
And were they selling quarter cows and stuff like that, like you had wanted?
They got it onto the website. It was all on there. It was all in progress. It was all ready to go. And yeah, everything was kind of like, everything fell into place, man. I was on there. I had a Meat Dad gift box or special box for Christmas. I pretty much did most of the promoting. And however many followers they have, it's mostly because of what I took them on my back. And so that's the part that hurt, man, because it's like these like last 9 months, I probably talked to that guy, Eric, almost every other day. And it was so much passion that I was giving. And I gave him so much to like teach him how to like, this is this. No, don't sell this for this. This got to be like this. You got to do this with the bones. They're throwing the bones away. I'm like, dude, you got to do this. You can smoke, you can do. And so they're like, they're running this thing, man. And I'm like, cool. This is great. I never thought I'd be in a position where I'm like, dude, I actually get to run like this whole situation. This guy's like, you're basically going to be the face of that. You're going to be the butcher of this, you know? And I'm like, cool. Like, this makes sense. And so I was skeptical a few months back, man. My wife and I, we're not stupid people, you know? And so a couple months ago, I'm just like, I'm not getting paid anymore, am I? You know? And she's like, I don't think so. And so I kind of took that in the beginning, like, all right, you know, I got something out of this, this and this, but I don't want people to be screwed over this. My followers and all this. And that's what hurts, man. I'm like, I don't want any of these people to get like that invested in this, man. It's just such a shitty situation. But at least for the meat part of it, it was legit, man. I literally went to 4 different ranches. It was beautiful. I met a really good, the guy that runs the slaughterhouse in Florida, his name is Rob. Great guy. We're going to stay friends.
Like, it is always amazing to me how much cattle land there is in Florida. There's a lot of cow ranches out there.
I had no idea.
Yeah, me neither. But then my kid went down a raw milk rabbit hole from Instagram and was like, became obsessed with raw dairy and was going to these ranches in Florida. And I was like, wait a second, people are raising cows in Florida. I had no idea.
Me too. I felt the same way. And then when I went, I'm like, this is actually perfect. And then I, you know, obviously there's tons of land, and then the wet.
Right. I mean, yeah, you go in anywhere, basically the majority of the people live on the coast in Florida, and you just start driving in and apparently it's just full of cow ranches.
Yeah. I felt the same way. Cause I've been to Florida once before for like Boca Raton, you know, but when I had to actually, I'm like, wow, man. And then we got to visit all the beautiful ranches, and dude, this guy's we're talking millions of dollars and buying all these cattle, and these guys put a ton of money. They spent a lot of money, but at the same time, there was a lot of money that went missing. And so it was crazy because it was an actual running business. The beef jerky, they launched the beef jerky. It was going like, I'm like, dude, you guys only have this short of a shelf life. We need to change it. You know, like, oh, there's so many different things. And I'm like, how do you guys not see these things as being such a huge company? And so it was more just, let's get this stuff out. Let's get some cash flow so we can look good, so we can get some more investors, so we can collect some money and get the hell out of here.
Well, it's a shame too, because I think what you intended to do is supply a service to people where, like, I've bought a quarter cow before, but I had to like go out into the middle of nowhere to a ranch and then separately have somebody else butcher it. With what you were trying to do, were you breaking it into pieces that didn't need a machine saw, and then basically giving people big roasts that they could take apart?
So this is the whole plan. Now, are you ready? Are we going to get into business together now?
Yep. Well, I want to know it because this is like a service that I think would benefit people, like legitimately.
So what I want. So, you know, you can go to a Costco business center or whatever, get those primals, you know, they get top sirloin, whatever it may be. Right. So you could buy that, get a top sirloin, whatever it is, take it home. It'll be less expensive. They have to do less work at the facility by cutting it, and then they just package it and ship it. I mean, that's a little easier for them and the cost can go down. That's one thing. But the other way I wanted to do is quarter, half, full cows. And so most people, man, I've done this, I'm blue collar. Most people can't afford to drop $3,000 on getting a quarter cow to fill their freezer for the year. So what I wanted to do is make it a program, dude. Like, so you're getting a quarter cow. However you want to break it up, if you want to get it monthly, every 2 months, if you want to get it in every 6 months or all at once, it's up to you, but you can have a monthly program. So now it's costing you $120 a month instead of whatever it could have cost you right up front, and you're getting your meat monthly or however you would have wanted it. So you're always going to get exactly what you would have for your quarter cow. So you can choose like, oh, this month, send me 5 pounds of ground beef, whatever it may be. You know, I would like people to have choices, because if they don't have the freezer space, you could still have it as a monthly subscription. Right. Or if they do, boom, you get it all at once, and then you can still make that payment plan, however it is. And I've seen companies online that do that. And I'm like, man, this would be phenomenal, because a lot of people don't know you can buy quarter, half, whole cows, and they don't know how actually easy it is after you get all that just to, you know, you're paying $4 a pound, bro, and then you're thawing everything out and you're good to go, you know?
Right. And it's as simple as like, I mean, the planning and preparation is just, I'm going to move this from my freezer to my fridge so I can eat it tomorrow. Right.
Yep.
That's it. That's all you have to do.
And that's what, you know, people go, I don't like frozen meat. Most of this stuff,
it's all frozen.
I know.
It's all been frozen.
These refrigerators, you know what they call them? They call it hard chilled.
Right.
So they don't get to the point of frozen where they can actually bring it down to freezing without calling it frozen. So they do that with turkeys every year.
Well,
they
hard
chill them.
You even think about fish, like the fish on the boat is getting frozen. They're freezing
it on the
boat. Yeah.
Yep.
You're not, I mean, unless you go out and hunt it, it's been frozen. It's just, you know, it's been brought down to below 32 degrees at some point.
Yes. They need to keep it and they need to keep the integrity of the meat, and they're not going to, it's not going to be over 40. I'll tell you that.
Right. Exactly. At some point, the temperature has been brought real low. So you can either take it from the butcher where you know it was brought real low and then raised until it was put on display, you know, in the back. I'm sure they're moving it from a very cold section to a less cold section and then putting it on display. You know, like see people cutting those big slabs of meat with the saws. It's really cold. The saw is going through something that's very firm. It's not, you know, the fillet is not ready to be seared at that point.
Oh, no, man. It's all ice cold, man. Everything's ice cold, man. Your hands, the grinder has to be in the room that's like under 30 or under 35 degrees. And so everything is, it's a super cold environment. And it's they do that for a reason, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's healthy. That's how we keep the bacteria away. But yeah, I don't understand, you know, but we live in a society that's dominated by processed food. And the funny thing is the processed food is, you know, created to last forever on shelves. But then we also want to just go to the market every day. If you want a steak, you got to go and buy it and eat it within the week while it sits in your, you know, it sits paling out in your refrigerator. You don't want to freeze it, but like there's a very simple way to push the shelf line down the road. And that's by freezing it.
That's what I think a lot of people now, they were taught just buy this fresh. And again, like the people, Our grandparents are like, no, you're getting this. And then whatever blueberries are left that are about to go bad, you're putting it in the freezer.
Right.
And it's like, I feel like a lot of other people are like, oh, those are bad, you know, and it's a different way of thinking. And I think it's the same thing with, you know, getting previously frozen stuff. It's just your mindset, man. It's just like, oh, I don't like frozen stuff. Bro, you just went to this restaurant. What do you think they just served you? Right. It always kills me, man. You're getting a chicken piccata. They just used a $2 a pound chicken breast. And then you come to the meat counter and you tell me you only eat organic. Give me a fucking break. You know, it kills me. I only eat organic. I'm like, bro, you were just at a restaurant. Like, that's not organic. And so it's tough, man. You get one guy picking out. He goes, can I get one boneless, skinless chicken breast regular and then two thighs organic? And I'm like, why? I don't even, but you just kind of just, what do you do? What do you do? Because people are just like uneducated and they're just, so you just going to go with it, man. It's hard. You want to
go with the flow, but I do think your idea is great. And I hope that happens again, because I do think it's a service that would be useful to people.
Yeah. I think we'll get somewhere with it. Because again, I mean, I've been reached out to by different meat companies, but it's not the right fit for me. It's not what I want.
Well, no, I think what you had intended to do is the correct. First of all, your whole thing is like, let me show you how you can do this yourself.
Yeah.
So if you say like, well, I'm going to bypass that. I'm going to do everything for you and you no longer have to, it's not, it's against your integrity. I think your idea was correct.
Because I'm trying to get to the point. How am I going to cut costs for people? Whatever it is, how am I going to cut? Because you keep going back. It's like to blue collar people, it's so hard to understand what actual blue collar people are dealing with every single day in terms of like, choosing between buying a pack of boneless, skinless chicken breasts and then thighs, because this is a 99 cents a pound and this is $6 a pound. And you're making the decision on not whether you like one better than the other, because it's just cheaper. And so I want people to still be able to eat like really good meat, really good pork, good steak, and then be able to get it at an affordable price and still be able to do this stuff. And just teach me. I just did a thing about a pork tenderloin. Pork tenderloins are slept on, man. People don't know it. That's the filet mignon of the pork, right? So you can do anything with it like you would a filet mignon. If you pound that out and make a schnitzel, that's the best schnitzel ever because it just falls right apart. You get stuff. I mean, there's so many different things. And they're $4 a pound. A beef tenderloin is $30 a pound. So it's like, what do you want to do here? Do you want to eat like a champ every day? Or do you just maybe have one filet mignon here and there and then just eat this stuff to get through the rest of your life, you know?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Oh,
right. I got to ask you this. I did not see your thing on the pork tenderloin. I have had trouble with a pork tenderloin because it goes dry so quick. It can just dry out on you. So if I wanted to do filet mignon style pork medallions or something, how do I do that without drying it out?
135.
Okay.
Is the absolute key. So however you're going to do it, do in your cast iron, do a little steak seasoning, whatever it is, sear on both sides, 135. Let them rest for 10 minutes. They're going to go to 145. Tiny bit of pink in the middle, it's going to melt in your mouth.
No, I'm fine with a little bit of pink in pork.
The problem, because there is no fat in that, so it is so unforgivable. If you go to 138, 140,
it's done.
You're going to go past the point of no return. Right. Some people, I'll even go 130, 132, and then cover it with foil when I'm resting it. I'd rather keep it a little bit more on the pink side than get on that white side, because then you're just like, oh God,
it becomes cardboard. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have to have a sauce, and you're just eating to eat. Right. And so it makes killer tacos. So cut it up into the tiny little cube and just season it with, there's like the seasoning that I really like. It's the fuego lento. It's like this carne asada seasoning. There's no sugar. I've been using that a lot because of this thing, but you just have to season it up and then hit it with a little bit of oil. And then it gets these nice little crispy edges, a little bit of lime on top, and they fall apart in your mouth because obviously like pork shoulder tastes really good, but you got to cook it a long time.
And a lot of fat in a pork shoulder.
Yes. And so the pork tenderloin, super lean, and then you still get a ton of flavor out of it just by enhancing it just that little bit, because you're only cooking that for 3 minutes. It's done. And then it's so tender, you know?
That's so exciting, dude. I can't wait to do that, because pork for me has largely been out of my diet simply because the fat. Yeah, well, the pork cuts that I want to eat are loaded with fat. And I can find beef. I can get super lean ground beef and it tastes delicious to me. I can cook a filet mignon that has no fat in it and it tastes delicious because I'm eating it basically rare. I'm not going to eat pork rare but no. I don't mind a little pink, but the lean pork goes really dry on me if I tried it. You know, I'll get like pork chops, cut the excess fat off of them, and even those will go dry.
So a little trick with the pork chop. So you have that boneless pork loin, right? And so one end is going to be where it would be the New York steak. So it's like the strip, it's the loin. And then when it gets to the very end, it kind of turns dark. And then you have that kind of dark piece and white piece. Take all that.
This is my favorite piece, by the way.
That's the ribeye.
Okay.
So that's the ribeye. So it's still going to be super lean. You're not, because basically all the fat off the top is gone at that point. And so you're still, that's going to be your best pork chop, man. I don't care what anybody says. Dude, those grilled up, a little mustard, a little bit of honey and some curry, a little bit of curry powder. Oh my God. That's just like the easiest, simplest, just like boom, boom, eat that with some like shiitake peppers or whatever, shishito, that's what it is. Shishito peppers. Oh man.
That sounds delicious. Anthony, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate what you do. Thank you for talking to me. I can't wait I can't wait for you to do that thing. I will be the first guy to order. I don't know that I'll get a whole cow, but I would definitely get a half a cow from you.
Well, I appreciate it, man. And yeah, I'm a big fan too, man. I didn't get a chance to say it, but it was great being able to talk to you and just interacting. And you know, like I said, as a kid, I pretty much, you were in every movie I ever watched. So it was cool to be able to have this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now for the Q&A.
Today's question comes from Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Ryan says, I have the same story as so many other people. I've struggled with this my whole life. I've lost hundreds of cumulative pounds and gained hundreds back. You see, like you, my problem is not losing weight. My problem is me. One thing I've certainly learned is that willpower is not my problem. I know that because I'm a project manager, currently getting my master's, holding two volunteer positions. I have three kids, all under the age of 11, and I manage my son's baseball team. So somehow I'm able to keep this going and a somewhat functioning house, and I'm married. There's lots of willpower there, and it's completely useless when I'm 3 months into a diet. I'm doing well, I've lost weight, and I'm in a workout routine. That insidious voice comes back telling me lies, and I eventually listen to them. He says, you know, the one that says, oh, you can have just one, or you've graduated, you're normal now. That voice, which is preceded by a trip or two to different fast food restaurants because I'm too ashamed to order what I really want to order, and so on. So he says, my question to you, Ethan, what tools do you use when that voice comes back? Did you cheat at all? And if so, what does that look like? My most important question, how long did it take before you were able to associate eating and happiness again without that 4,000 calorie meal?
Yeah, this is a great question. Thank you, Ryan. So I think there's a couple parts, but really the one I would focus on is possibly, I think, and I don't know exactly what he's doing, but he's in the middle of a diet, he's working out, and then it collapses. And so my instinct is to wonder if the structure of that diet and exercise routine is possibly too rigid or too hard or not sustainable, because really, the moment that everything in my life relaxed was when I stepped off of a path where I was headed towards a result and stepped onto a path where everything was just focused on the path, on the routine, on the process, on the structure of my life. So it was no longer about, I need to lose 20 pounds. It was about, I need to live in a way that produces results that I want, but this is now my life. So if you're doing something that cannot bear that, right? If it's too low in calories, if it's too extreme in weight loss, if you're feeling too hungry, and you're denying yourself things too often, you know, there is some rigidity to my path. There are guardrails, you know, I don't eat fast food. I really, really don't eat fast food. I mean, in the past 5 years, maybe I've had fast food twice. And that's a very honest answer. Mm-hmm. I've probably had pizza four times in the last 5 or 6 years. I don't mess around with pasta very often. But if I do, I eat it without fat. And God, pasta without fat sucks. It's not fun, you know. And so, like, there is some rigidity there. But I'm living my life in a way that I'm not hungry all the time or really ever. I'm fueling myself for my workouts. If I'm going to go into a fat loss phase, it's going to be so mild. Like, there's going to be such a long-term approach to weight loss that it's not impossible. You know, my hormones are not getting out of whack. And then even if I'm doing it in such a mellow way, a few months into that, your hormones are going to be a mess just because you have been in a deficit for so long. And then I'm going to let them chill out by doing a maintenance period. And maintenance for me, which took a lot of work in the beginning, is the rest of my life plan. There's no, I lose a certain amount of weight and I'm done. That's the, when you're focused on the outcome. I'm not focused on the outcome anymore. I'm focused on the process, which, you know, it'd be like going like, I just want to be rich, right? I do not think Warren Buffett just set out to be rich. He figured out something he liked doing. He liked buying companies and it produced wealth for him. But look, he was so kind of disinterested in wealth. He drove the same car forever, right? He ate fucking McDonald's, I think, for breakfast every day, which so like, I don't think that's super healthy, but he wasn't an obese guy, so it wasn't bad for him. You know, he's doing, Warren Buffett's still alive, I think. Yeah, so he's fine, right? Anyway, my point is, there are people whose sole purpose is like, I just want to be wealthy. And I would be willing to bet that they don't enjoy it or, you know, and then I'm sure there's like a few people who do, but like, when my purpose was just losing weight, it was a struggle and a grind. When my purpose became about changing my life, so that I could have the life I wanted, it became much, much easier. And so when I hear about a guy who gets 3 months into a thing and then it collapses because he hits the drive-thru a few times, before you hit the drive-thru, do a maintenance period. Fucking increase your calories so that you're not hungry at all. And that shit should chill out. You know, those voices, those demons trying to pull you off of it should chill out. But you got to catch it before. You got to catch it early, because I know that once you like step off the path, it's very hard to get back on. And the maintenance stuff should be a part of the path, should be a part of the journey, because that's teaching you what the rest of your – like, look, you can keep losing and gaining weight too, but like recognize that that's what you're doing. I believe that the process for long-term maintenance is figuring out maintenance, and maintenance doesn't look like your life prior to dieting. Your life prior to dieting produced – obesity, or I don't know how heavy Ryan is, whatever, it produced some situation that was not optimal for you. And so you're working very hard to change that. Well, maybe the entire structure of your life has to change. Maybe the way you eat has to change, and it has to change forever. It's not a short-term thing. It's not like I lose 50 pounds and I'm done and I can go back to doing what I was doing. No, maybe you just can't eat fast food anymore. But maybe if you're not hungry, you won't want to, you know? So it might mean a little extra time doing meal prep or a little extra time going to the grocery store. And, you know, that can be hard. It sounds like he has kids, right? Mm-hmm. And works. He sounds like he's a successful guy in business. And so like, yeah, but you got to squeeze it in.
If you have time at night to watch TV or to look at your phone, you can go to the grocery store, you can meal prep, and all of those trade-offs will become less burdensome over time. But I really do think that the switch over from just focusing on the goal, it'd be like, you know, if you're just going to work every day, focused on your paycheck only, and you're not putting any kind of focus into the job you're doing, how long can that last? If you're not, you know, if you're not working to do well at your job, you're just working to get a paycheck. That doesn't sound like fun. And I'm sure that that's the situation for a lot of people. A lot of people have jobs that they don't enjoy and they're doing them for a paycheck. And for them, I would say, find a way to enjoy it. Find some way to, you know, enjoy it. Clementine, my daughter, her yearbook quote is a quote from Camus, which said, "We must imagine that Sisyphus was happy." And it's like the guy did the same thing. His burden was, you know, he was stuck reliving the same day every day. But he like pushes this rock to the top of the mountain every day, right? Mm. Imagining him happy is like, okay, well, yeah, he made it to the top every day. And there must be some joy in succeeding at that. Because if we imagine him as being miserable, fuck, that's dark. You know what I mean? But if you can find some way to create joy in the process, that's my recommendation. But if you're building up structures that are so hard, if you're working out so hard, if you're dieting so extremely, that it's creating in you this need to go eat other stuff, take a fucking break from the diet, but actively work on maintaining your weight. And I don't think fast food drive-thrus are part of that calculation, most likely.
Right. And
I don't think that fast food drive-thrus are either good or bad. They're probably very beneficial to Warren Buffett, and they're very detrimental to me. So, you know, it's like, from which side of the road are we viewing them? And from my point of view, it's like, they're not good. But I can recognize that Warren Buffett doesn't seem to have a problem with them. And so good for him. Eat your fucking McMuffin, dude, and make all the billions in the world and drive your 40-year-old Buick. And I wish you, you know, happiness. He clearly likes the process. My life got a million times easier when I started to try to find ways to enjoy the structure of my life that produced an outcome that was desirable.
That's pretty great. I'm going to take this advice. I feel like this question was for me. Answer rather is for me. So yeah, thank you so much for that question. Let us know how you do with that. Keep us posted. If you have a question for Ethan and you would like him to answer it for you here on the podcast, just email us. It's hello@AmericanGlutton.net.
Thanks for listening to this episode of American Glutton. I'm Ethan Suplee. You can follow us on Instagram @AmericanGluttonPodcast. Sincerely.